to the book of Philippians chapter 3. We want to look at verses 18 and 19 this morning. Our message is Enemies of the Cross of Christ. Philippians 3, verse 18. Brother Paul writing to the church at Philippi. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Now, I think a lot of people think that this scripture is about religious people that get into a church and raise havoc because of their wrong ideas and their troublemaking and their sinful behavior. And it can include those kinds of people, and does sometimes. But when you think about what the apostle's writing here, you can't help but realize that anybody who has influence upon a believer or the lives of believers, any kind of influence that's counter, opposite to the very principles that the Lord Jesus Christ taught, is bound to fall into this category that he's talking about. This category that he calls enemies of the cross of Christ. And for that reason, I want us this morning to consider some of the behaviors of those people and where they stand in their influence upon the Christian way. And you'll excuse me if I'm a little bit national in this view of this message, but I think one of the greatest tragedies of our time today is that many people who are enemies of the cross of Christ have national influence upon America. And they are influencing the Christian culture in general and God's people specifically. And for that reason, I think national in scope is a thing we need to think about when we think about enemies of the cross of Christ. Now, to start this, I want to say that there is a mistaken notion in America today that preachers and churches should stay out of politics. I say it's a mistaken notion because some of the most influential people in almost any culture are those that have career political positions. And that makes it a mistaken notion for us to think that religious people, and specifically God's people, have no business dealing with politics. This idea that a preacher and a church should stay out of politics has been planted in the brains of a lot of people by deceivers who have hoped to limit the influence of you and I in political choices in our country. That's the bottom line of why you hear so much rhetoric about religious people and churches and preachers ought to stay out of politics. Folks, let me just say right up front, that is a coarse, fabricated lie. And when we think about how our country is, I believe that we can see that it has to be a lie because it has wrought more distortion of the truth for religious people to have no input into politics. It has wrought more distortion of the truth than any other single thing in our nation. In our country, those liars who have promoted this lie have so completely misrepresented things that they have gone as far as misrepresenting the wording of the Constitution that guides the laws of our nation about religion as part of their effort to smother, to snuff out the voice of the righteous. I don't think I'm saying anything new to anybody here this morning, but I really want to leave us today with an imprint of the impact that liars and deceivers, enemies of the cross of Christ, have had upon the spiritual welfare of our nation. And really, whether you like to admit it or not, the spiritual welfare of our churches and the spiritual welfare of the people in our churches. Now, here's the lie that they have propagated and how they've misrepresented the Constitution. They've adopted this short byline. Every one of us have heard it. Separation of church and state. And in adopting this byline, they've interpreted it through propaganda to mean that there can be no expression of religion in government. People that are hired by government are supposed to be religious neuters, having no religious input whatsoever, no religious affiliation, no religious conversation, no religious vocabulary. Nothing about religion must infringe upon what the government is and is doing. This is their model. This is where they're going with this thing. Now, if people who believe in the Lord and serve God never say anything about politics whatsoever, where do you think politics will go in just a few decades? I'll tell you where it'll go. It'll go where we as a nation already are. That's where it'll go. We're a living, standing testimony of what happens to a nation when the religious voice is snuffed out of politics by intimidation, by a misrepresentation of the law, by misrepresentation of the spirit of the government of our land. Now, we have an entire history of man, brothers and sisters, to prove that this is what happens when wicked men are left unchecked and no moral or religious constraint makes them toe a fine line. Do any of you here that are saved doubt for a moment that if left alone, a depraved man will go to the most awful condition he is able? If left unchecked, he will do the meanest, most wicked things that his position, influence, and spirit will let him go. And that's exactly what we see in our nation today, in our government. In the U.S. today, we see results of decades of corrupt behavior by immoral politicians. Politicians that we are now in a place where the checks that might have kept those men on a leash have almost all been broken. Do you have any influence over your politician? I don't. We can write them letters, and you know this. I do it all the time. And I tell them what the mind and heart and spirit of Tennessee citizens is, and of my heart, and of what the nation's trend is, and they'll write back just the most flowery and beautiful letters about what they're doing. And in Congress, things go on exactly as they were. What is this an indicator of? It is an indicator that we have lost control of our government. We have lost control of our government to the influence and utter control of the devil. Now, brothers and sisters, that may sound radical, but I challenge you to look at what small gains those conservatives now in Congress are being able to make against the outflowing tide of godlessness and tyrannical power that has taken control of Washington, D.C. And you will see that the voices we sent to Congress that really do intend good are doing nothing. Why? Because wicked, godless men under the control of Satan now have gone past the leash, and we have no control over them. Now, I want to read you the statement in the Constitution that these deceivers use to exclude people with a sense of morals and spiritual values, religious people, from having influence in government. You constitutional students, listen. It's in Amendment 1. Here it is. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion in your language and mine. Congress is not to make any law nor enforce any law that regards somebody building a religion or acting out a religion or establishing religion in their lives, in their business, in their families, in any part of America. The government of the land is not to make any laws regarding the thing about religion. Now, the founders wrote this in this way. I know what one of the primary purpose was. If I transliterate that, government shall make no laws establishing a formal government-owned, government-run, government-mandated religion in the United States. But the way the framers wrote it, it covered what you and I do in establishing some kind of religion in our daily lives. It meant that too. They shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. We're going to get to something on that in a minute. Or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press regarding religion or anything else. Or the right of the people peaceably to assemble, placards, marching, wherever there's a public thoroughfare without being restricted to some kind of cordoned off area that says, this is the legal area that you can march in, but nowhere else in this public thoroughfare. That's the kind of stuff this First Amendment says the government shall not do. The right to peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievance. Nor shall they prohibit the people of America from going with grievance documents and saying, we have a complaint against you as government. That's the central information in Amendment 1. Now, while I'm not conducting a lesson here on the Constitution, I do want us to look at what this statement really says, because it fits with our scripture text and it fits with what American deceivers have done to religion and the United States of America. For many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. They shall make no law, as it started out, Amendment 1, prohibiting the free exercise of religion. I want you to notice again that there's not, listen to me, there's not one word here about people being prohibited from exercising their religion wherever they stand on American soil. We hear so much now about government-owned buildings. Do you know who owns the government-owned buildings, brothers and sisters? You do. And yet the government has fabricated this propaganda to the point that you believe, you really believe, that you can't read a Bible standing in the lobby of the federal building in Nashville. You really believe that? It simply is not so. That's how far we've come. We've got yet further to go. I want us to be very, very sensitive to this. What we see right now in the U.S. is that wicked men have interpreted this so-called statement in Amendment 1 of the Constitution to mean that citizens can't exercise religion anywhere government is involved. And it is a lie. Now, this means, according to them, that you can't have prayer, a prayer gathering if you're anywhere near a government building. You can't pass out tracts near a courthouse or some other place that's called a government facility. You can't carry placards mentioning the Lord near a place where the government is paying for abortions or something. You can't carry a Bible into a government building. Not all government buildings, not all of the Bible Nazis leap upon you in every government building in America today. But it's coming. It's coming. Now let's all stop for just a minute and ask a question. Here we are under this suppression by a fascist government sitting in Washington, D.C., under the kind of oppression that says, whatever you want to practice of religion, you'd better check with us and get a check-off approval before you do it. Otherwise, we'll make sure you're in violation of some government edict and we'll haul you off to jail or slap you with a big fine. That's exactly what they've done to us, brothers and sisters. So let's stop a minute and ask a question. The phrase says, government shall make no law prohibiting the free exercise of religion. Is there any place today where you go where the government apparently has a law in position to punish you if you read a Bible there or pray there or sing hymns there? Is there any place that you know of? I do, and you do too. Just like I said in the example, a federal building, for instance. Or on the grounds of a federal building, for instance. And some courthouses in county are like that today. So it's happening. Now, look at all these examples I've given, and let me ask you this. Are these not acts by government, rules by government, things done with supposed authority by government that prohibit the free exercise of religion? Are they or not? You don't all have to say amen. I know you believe that they are. They've abridged the freedom of speech. You can't talk about religious things if you're standing here or there. You got to get over yonder in the back of that 100-acre field to talk about religion. What? They have abridged the freedom of the press. How many journalists are there around today? I was going to say, how many journalists you know that won't talk about religion anymore today? But the first question is, how many journalists are there? About what? For the thousands and thousands that put out media today, was there a half dozen true journalists left alive today in America? Probably. Probably about a half a dozen. The rest of them are yes men for the Obama administration. And that's all they are. Why are they? Because they are enemies of the cross of Christ. It's that simple, brothers and sisters. We don't have to make complication out of this. These are enemies of the cross of Christ. We'll get to why in a minute, or get to what they will hope to do. They're abridging the right of the people peaceably to assemble. Every one of us have heard about the march against abortion clinics has been put off over yonder on the backside of the 100-acre field. Can't be any... Some cities and other places have passed laws that says you can't be within any minute X number of feet of an abortion clinic. Think what they're doing. This is the government saying this. They are abridging the right of free speech. And we're saying, well, they have a right to do that. No, they don't. Brother Myers, you're going to make rebels out of every one of the people you preach like this to. I hope so. Because God's things are more important than a bunch of propagandists, seducers, wicked and ungodly men who are enemies of the cross of Christ, who have allowed this thing to go this far and have propagated it as it went this far. The things of God are more important than men suppressing men in the name of the best interests of society. Listen to you. If a Muslim wants to get out there in the front yard of this church and preach about Islam, in my opinion, he has a right. I'll go out there and witness to him about Jesus Christ. I will. And I'll read to him out of the Bible about how to come to the cross. But he's got a right to be out there if he wants to be. There's no trespass signs on this property. I don't have any trespass signs on my yard at the house. And those Jehovah's Witnesses can come to my door if they want to, because I don't say with a little sign, Jehovah's Witnesses, stay off, this is private property. Even on private property, people have a right of expression. The property owner is the one to say for the private property whether it be true or not. But a government building is owned by you, Mark Archer, and you, Brother Kevin, and me, and you, Brother Ed, and all you ladies. We own a piece of that property. The government doesn't own it. They are enemies of the cross of Christ. Now, I want to bring us back to our Bible text and point out that where we have gotten in this country regarding Amendment 1 is the result of men in power that our text fits exactly. Here are some examples that prove it beyond a shadow of a doubt. There are already examples that you know to be true. Our kids can't read their Bible or pray in school. One. I'm just going to name a few. They can't talk about the Lord in graduation speeches. Two. It's reached down to our kids. The government is intimidating and terrorizing true journalists, bullying them into stopping talking about the religious discrimination going on in America. Three. And Christians are being arrested for assembling to protest ungodly activities sponsored by the government and paid for by Christian taxes. Four. And five. People are being arrested and harassed and spied on and not given fair treatment who file grievances about infringement against the government, Tea Party, and others. True the Vote, and others. When a government takes us to a place like this and our politicians support this kind of fascist domination, those that have brought it to pass and those who support it, let me say it again, those who have brought it to pass and those who support it are enemies of the cross of Christ. I'm going to steal my own thunder here, but I'll come back over it again by saying this. When we look at this suppression of religious freedom in America, brothers and sisters, do you have any idea, or are you at all blurred on who is really being targeted? It's not mainstream religion. It's not Islam. It's none of those things. I'll tell you who's being targeted, and the reason I know it's them that's being targeted is because I know who's holding the gun. True believers in Christ are the ultimate target. Harmony Missionary Baptist Church and every Baptist church that's standing straight for the truth is the ultimate target being aimed at, and that is where the holder of the gun is aiming, because the holder of the gun is Satan. Do you think these multitudes of idiots that have led us into this position, this place of ultimate judgment of God, have any idea that they are puppets of the devil? They don't. Some do. There are a few that are willing, willful puppets of the devil. They know who they're serving. But for the most part, most of them are just useful idiots following the leading of the godless to bring the judgment of God upon earth. But most of all, what Satan aims at, target the people of God. He doesn't really have any concern with false religions. Don't get led off in that direction. He doesn't. Now, Paul in his writing here in Philippians shows the example that he sets as a faithful and obedient Christian. If you go back and read previous in this chapter, you'll see that. He contrasts Christian behavior with those who contradict Christ. Contrast it with those who oppose the Lord Jesus. He contrasts it with those who do not walk according to the Lord's principles. So let's examine what the Lord says about men who fit this ungodly profile. Right to your verse. First, as I've already pointed out, but I want to reemphasize this again, they are enemies of the cross of Christ. Now, I'm just going to say some things about enemies of the cross of Christ. I don't have to validate them with Scripture. You probably already have Scripture in your head that tells you that what I'm going to say is true. First, enemies of the cross of Christ don't want those who have experienced the power of the Lord Jesus in salvation to be able to get together and strengthen one another. Enemies of the cross of Christ, they hate this assembling of churches. They don't want God's people to get together and support and encourage one another. And so they are going to always be on the side of the law that constricts this freedom. Enemies of the cross of Christ are so consumed by the idea of humanity and the greatness of humanity, and are so consumed with atheism for the most part, and if not with a false belief in a false system, that they imagine themselves to be doing everybody good when they restrict freedom of expression. Hey, is there anything, brothers and sisters, more moronic than thinking that you will make a society healthy by instilling so much fear or threat of law in people that they won't talk and they won't get together and talk about the things that are meaningful to them? Can you think of anything that is so completely out of whack for people who imagine that they'll be doing society good? And let me just stop here and say this. A multitude, probably the majority, of these enemies of the cross of Christ, they think that they're doing American society a favor with these ungodly things that they're allowing to go on and that they're passing as laws. They think they're doing us a favor. They really think they're doing us a favor. How far afield is their understanding of what I went over this morning in the Sunday school lesson? How far afield are they about the true wisdom of God to imagine that they think they're doing them, this country good and the people good by suppressing our freedom of expression and by oppressing us if we don't suppress those freedoms? So enemies of the cross of Christ don't want those who have experienced the power of Christ, the power of the cross, to be able to get together and strengthen one another. And secondly, enemies of the cross of Christ don't want people expressing their belief in the Christ of the cross. A true earmark. I don't care what those people say about being Christian, when they willingly promote or help pass constraints that keep people from expressing their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, they are enemies of the cross of Christ. Why do you think Paul was telling the Philippian brethren weeping about this? Because that bunch of ungodly, quasi-religious fanatics had gotten a chokehold on the church of people of the Church of Philippi. And that chokehold was causing the people at the Church of Philippi to suffer a bunch of things in the way of not having the freedom that they could have in the Lord, because those people were choking them down. So they were telling him, he was telling them weeping, that those people that they might think are friends are enemies of the cross of Christ. Listen to me, brothers and sisters. Anytime a government or government representatives defile the meaning and spirit of the Constitution about freedom of religion, freedom of speech, and that kind of thing, they are enemies of the cross of Christ. Right now, as it is presently constituted and presently operating, the federal government of the United States is an enemy, wholesale enemy, of the cross of Christ. Now, when I say that, let me be very clear. There are some Christians up there, I believe, in Congress. They have been invalidated by this force that is operating in our federal government. There is a power that Satan has given to these godless men in federal government that has never been known in federal government before. And he is orchestrating the suppression of all in Congress up there who might do something to assuage the problem of this suppression that is taking place by a fascist-driven government and will end up ultimately in depriving us of all of our rights. Not just religious freedom, but every other freedom, because the ultimate aim, history proves to us, the ultimate aim of governments of this type is to drive the people to the wall until they have to get permission from the government for every single thing they do. And when governments are left to run them up like this, that is where they go. Enemies of the cross of Christ don't want somebody broadcasting the truth of the gospel. So currently, there is this big push on, I forget what that's called that the FBI was trying to, it means equal time for the godless as well as those who would tell the truth. And believe me, brothers and sisters, whoever gets on the airways and tells lies is godless. That's your bottom line. It's not very complicated. And those who tell the truth, doesn't matter if they're lost people. If they tell the truth, they're on God's side in respect of that. Jesus said it plainly, he that's not against me is with me. And he took into consideration a lot of things when he said that. And so the enemies of the cross of Christ don't want somebody broadcasting the truth of the gospel, hence oppression and suppression of the airways just now by the Federal Communications Commission under the puppet guidance of that president that sits in the White House, who is an enemy of the cross of Christ. Enemies of the cross of Christ that run the politics of our nation, brothers and sisters, don't want to have to listen to complaints from citizens about the government's intrusion into their freedom of expression. In fact, today, and all of you know this, it takes a lawsuit, a major lawsuit, to get the federal government's attention enough to drag them into the courtroom to hear the grievances that the American people have against their fascist, totalitarian, ungodly, enemy of the cross of Christ behavior. Now, all of you might imagine that I'm very emotional about all this. I am. Listen, you know, you sitting here as members of this church, you get fired up thinking, yeah, I don't have to preach a sermon about this. You get fired up just thinking about what this government is doing to the people of America. But when a preacher, called of God, when the Holy Spirit points out to him that godless men are waving the wand of control over a peoples of a nation, and where they're leading those peoples is to an utter destruction at the hands of the God who rules the universe, I know we'll be preserved. Even if a bomb drops, we'll go to heaven. I understand that. But listen, Christian and unbeliever alike are moving toward God's wrathful hand in America because of what these godless enemies of the cross of Christ are doing in government and in business. And we better do one or two things. We better start praying that God will save us from them, or we better start hunkering down, getting ready for the worst, because it's coming. And when a preacher is given Holy Spirit insight and understanding of how wicked all this is, he cannot keep his mouth shut. He has an obligation from the perspective of Scripture. And that's why this message was about enemies of the cross of Christ. I see a lot of other facets of these ungodly men that isn't about being an enemy of the cross of Christ. But the number one thing that fires my soul is the fact that above everything that they are in the way of wickedness, they are enemies of my Savior. They are enemies of what He did there at Calvary. They are enemies of everything that stands for. And their whole hope is to obliterate everything that relates to the cross of Christ. And that's why, ultimately, it is a message about enemies of the cross of Christ. May God help us to get to praying and be prepared for the worst, because it's coming.